Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Psalm, Psalm 112, verses 1 through 9. Hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved, they will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings, their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady, they will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely, they have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor. Our next scripture continues from where we left off in Matthew. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 20. Hear the word of Christ. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and mighty God, your word lights our path and guides our hearts. Help us, Lord, as we meditate on your word, as we consider what you are saying to us and calling us to be and to do. Help us, Lord, to follow where you're leading us this day, and bless the meditations of our minds and heart as we consider your word. Amen. Are we salt? And before you ask, it's just salt in general, not any specific type of salt. So we don't need to go into a Penzi spice version of figuring out what kind of particular Himalayan sea salt, kosher sea salt, hard. We don't need to do that. Are we light? And again, don't worry about hashing out the various forms of light that we could discuss. In our scripture today, Jesus uses two images to describe what the people of God are called to be and to do. And then after telling us what we are to be, he goes on to describe his own mission. He, in the first few verses, gives us our mission and our calling and calls us to live a certain way. He slides gently into his own purpose after giving us ours. He doesn't say that he came to abolish the law and get rid of it, but he came to fulfill it. One of the strangest moments in this passage is the idea of salt without taste or light that can be hidden. After all, you use salt because it's salty. I remember my grandfather always with his soup, instantly, before he had even tasted it, would reach over and grab the salt and the pepper. Why? Because his view was that salt added flavor, added something. I won't tell you how much he added, but it depended on where we were eating. Salt has flavor. Unless you're in my mother-in-law's kitchen, and then salt is too spicy. She's one of those people that water at times can be too spicy. We once didn't put any spices on her steak and just brought it to her plain. And she sat, took her first bite. It's a little too spicy. The fact is, all of these little images have little exceptions, like my mother-in-law, or perhaps the child who's trying to hide the light, or at least thinks they can hide the light. You know, that child who wants to stay up a little later to read a book, and so they've got the blankets over them, and the flashlight here, and the book here. Maybe I'm the only one. I remember one child from my own household growing up that asked our mom if they could position their bed in the oddest, strangest place in the room. But it made sense when you realized that they would open up their shade just a little so they could read by a street light. She now wears glasses. The fact is, all of these images deal with the purpose of things. The commonality, the things that they have in common, is that there is a purpose. And they talk to us about our purpose. Not just the purpose of Hurley Reformed Church, but the purpose of the church in general. Salt doesn't just add flavor to something that is bland. Salt has so much more purpose than just adding a little something to soup, steak, or really, whatever. Actually, as I sat down to write my sermon, I looked over at my everything bagel with olive cream cheese and lox. And I thought, salt! And then I realized why I was drinking so much water. But then, salt isn't just dealing with preserving food or flavoring food. Salt does other things. Think about rock salt that we spread in the driveway that melts snow and ice. Think about Epsom salts for all of us who have ever had ingrown toenails and the relief you feel after a good Epsom salt soak. And then you get your feet out of the water and they're back to normal. Normal being painful. The fact is, salt has greater purpose. Light has greater purpose too. Without light, our day would come to a literal end after sunset. Think about the functionality of light as we go through our homes. If you didn't have light in your home after dark, you'd have purple shins or worse. You certainly wouldn't be that child up in bed reading by a streetlight because the streetlight would be gone. Imagine, if you will, trying to light your path. Oh, wait, you can't as you drive home after dark. You couldn't work past a certain hour because there would be no light on your car as you drove home. There would be no light as you walked through bad neighborhoods, keeping you safe, lighting your path. The day would simply end when the sun went down. Light does more than just keep us from being able to close up shop at the end of the day. It keeps us safe at the end of the day. Think not just about our roads and cars, but imagine trying to walk, say, along 209, and I'm thinking further afield, without a light. Think about as you get past Route 28 and you start climbing up, 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 up. Imagine trying to walk that in the middle of the night without the moon to guide you and a light in your hand. Well, you'd go over the end because you wouldn't know where the curve was. Unless you're going slow and you're going barefoot and you can feel the edge of the road. That is the purpose of light. Light does so much more. And without light, we are lost. But what do we do about light that is hidden or salt that isn't salty anymore? Something that has lost its purpose of being. Something that has lost its reason to be what it is. After all, would you keep a TV in your house that wasn't running as a decorative piece? And before you say, well, yeah, I did that for years, just bear with me. I had a Spanish teacher in high school who used an old Commodore computer. And for you younger people, that means that we're talking the boot-up disk. Think back, if you're in my age bracket of about 40 years old, where you have to use a disk to start the computer. You have to use a disk for every program you start. And it was older than that. So Mr. Polanowski would always bring up his old computer, and then we asked him, how do you keep your computer working? After all, wouldn't it outlive its purpose? Then we found out he had a basement full of other old Commodores that he would part out. He managed to salvage that purpose for that old computer. Its longevity was kept by maintaining its workability and its purpose. He would rage garage sales for old computers, trying to make sure that that still ran. The purpose of light is to shine. The purpose of a city on a hill is to be on the hill and not be hidden. If you wanted to hide a city, you could build it in a jungle or in a mountain, in a cave. But if you want to build a city on a hill or place a light on and light it, you put it there to shine out and shine forth. Today's scripture has one key word in it, and that is purpose. Why we are what we are, why we are who we are, and why we are whose we are. If we are salt, then we are to serve the purpose of God, which God has put us here to serve. If we are light, then we are called to shine out and shine forth. As Jesus says to others, to see it, and so that others can find their way. In his opening, Jesus isn't just telling us about salt so that we go through our spice cabinet every year or two just to make sure that the salt is still good. Or if you live in this area of New York, it starts to clump. The fact is, he doesn't tell us about light so that we can just push this off and think about other things. He tells us this to have us grapple with our own purpose as the people of God, as the light of the world, as the city on the hill, as salt in the world. We don't have to go too far to notice the darkness that exists in our world. We don't have to go too far to understand the crimes and inhumanity that exist in our world on a daily basis. There are people in our community, in our world, that are gravely and greatly in need. And if you can't see it, then please take off your rose-colored glasses and look. And before you look at the past, remember, take those glasses off. and look back, because the past is just as bad as the current is now. The past isn't some glorified area and place and time. The past is just as bad and needed the people of God as much as the current time needs the people of God now. After all, the Dark Ages weren't called the Dark Ages because things were great. The past is, the church was in the past, and now the church needs to be in the current time. Our saltiness, our purpose is to bring light into that darkness in our world. It's called to work against that darkness that exists. Darkness has existed ever since the fall, ever since those early times. And the people of God have been called to work against that darkness since then. They have been called to shine out and shine forth, to meet that purpose. Jesus uses that great image of a bushel basket, trying to hide the light. Think about that image. Think about lighting a lamp, not a flashlight. This is where I always messed up with this image when I was younger, because I would always think of my own commonality of light, and I would picture, well, I'll take a bushel basket like we got from the Moreland's farm, and I'll put it over a lamp. My lamp was a flashlight, and of course, it falls apart in the image. Think of taking a fire-burning lamp and putting that basket on top. And no, folks from the basket class, I'm not encouraging you to do this. There are parts of my childhood where my mother definitely got a few gray hairs. My brother and I decided once to test this theory out. And let's just say the basket was fun to watch. When you light a lamp and put a bushel basket over it, the lamp will not be contained. You could still see coming out the light from the basket. But the other thing is, the basket will be consumed by the flame. It will eventually burn. Sometimes it takes a while, but it will be consumed. The fact is, you cannot contain, you cannot stop that light of Christ. It will burn through. Remember that great statement of Christ, that even the rocks would cry out. Even the rocks. The flame will eat through that covering basket and shine all the brighter then. Jesus chooses this image, not because the basket has an ability to cover the light. Think about it. The weave of the basket will always allow light to come out and shine forth. He chooses it because of the inability of the basket to cover the light. Jesus knows that the light cannot be contained, that the light will consume that covering in that basket. Think of the difference between that basket and a candle snuffer. Candle snuffers are always smaller and made of metal or something that is usually non-flammable. You don't snuff a candle with something that'll burn. The fact is, the light of Christ cannot successfully be hidden for a sustained amount of time. It is. Jesus addresses the crowd and calls them blessed, but then he gives them their purpose. Their purpose to be salt, to have saltiness to them, to go forth and be the light and give heat and light to the world, to meet that calling and that purpose that Christ has given them. But they is also we. Too often we read Scripture and we look at Christ sending the disciples and we say, okay, great. But we forget and we neglect to see that those marching orders aren't just theirs, they're ours. that call to be light in the world is not the light of the ages past. It is the light of us now as well. We are called to fulfill our purpose as the people of God, to bring glory to God in our world, to light the path for those who are lost, to bring light for all those who are in darkness. Jesus isn't just teaching at the Sermon on the Mount. He's challenging us and calling us to serve the greater purpose which Christ and God has called us to be. He's calling us not to hide our light, but to let it shine, to shine brighter and shine forth in this broken and dark world of ours. Brothers and sisters, let us be that light for all who are lost. Let us shine forth in our world. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we now will be responding to God.